this morning or our newsreel or whatever we do, we can leave that outside. And then we just have this beautiful entrance, which was right from the beginning of the Word of God, right to the final entrance, which will be our entrance into heaven together to celebrate. So thank you very much. I wanted to just open, and Kevin will come in a couple of minutes. I just wanted to open with sharing with you a little taste of how our lives work. We now live on the Thai-Myanmar border. And so I just wanted to tell you the story of a river. And there's a river between Thailand and Myanmar. It's called the Mui River, and it's actually the border river. And we are familiar with border rivers because we used to live on the border of North Korea and China. So God has positioned us again in that kind of a location. But what he has been doing in the last 2 years has even been beautifully overwhelming us. I don't know if he's saying, you guys don't have very long left, so I'm going to speed everything up. Or if he's just saying, this is a place where I'm so powerfully at work, I want to invite you into it. And for us, that's been an incredible pleasure. He's given us a team of 12, not 12 disciples. We have actually more women than men. They're female disciples, 12 beautiful young people, all between the ages of 21 and 26, and one that's just a little bit older, that he has gathered. We've been there 2 years on this river. But this morning when I woke up, and I'm not a big foam person all day long. If you want to reach us, you usually have to reach Kevin, because I only check in the morning and the evening. So this morning I woke up and there was this text on our hub chat. We have a chat for our team. Our team are all nationals except us. They're all people that speak 6 different languages of the ethnic minorities that are right in our region. It's absolutely phenomenal that we get to have these amazing on fire young people. Anyway, I got a text on the hub chat and it just was a picture of the river and people, and under it it said, 32 new believers baptized today. So that was last night while we were sleeping. Wazo, who's only 22, wrote that. And she has only been a Christian for 3 years. And she is on fire. So God has set a fire on the river border. And as if we didn't already have enough people to work with refugees and migrants and people that God is bringing into our context, families that, what you said, don't have enough food to eat, but are so open to the gospel. Myanmar is in a war. And many of you might know that. It's not widely publicized. But this war is a civil war going on between the military and the non-military, which are backed by the professionals and a lot of the ethnic minorities. And the main battleground is the border. Because if you get the border, then you get the trade in and out and all of these things for economic reasons. So just 10 days ago, there's one of the 3 main border cities, and this is the main one into between Thailand and Myanmar. The city on the Myanmar side, and we hear bombs like all the time and artillery fire and things because we're 5 kilometers from that river border. That city was taken over by the, Kevin calls them the good guys. Believers are the good guys in the kingdom of heaven, but by the resistance movement against the military. And it was a lot of cost, a lot of bloodshed, and a lot more people, at least 3,000 more people fled into our area. And the majority of those people are between 18 and 35 because there is a brand new enactment of a pre-existing conscription law that anyone, women or men of those ages, can be forced to immediately join the military side. And they were starting to just randomly pick them up everywhere. God is sending them over to us and our team and others that are working. So the river has been the place of fleeing. Starting next month will be the rainy season, which means the rivers are too high to cross and too fast moving. So in fact, there will be less coming across the river at that time. That this whole week has been a continual war for that town on the, across the border, across the main trade port crossing river border. And now it's taken back by the military, which is very discouraging because of the heavy cost of loss of life and casualties. So we have all these people that have run over, and I've only been here 2 weeks, and I'm going back tomorrow. We're going back tomorrow. And Kevin's been, I think, here in a month in Canada. And our team, who's so young, is leading people to Christ. Last week, we were going to have children's camps during, this is the school holiday season, and last week, instead of children, it's all 18-plus-year-olds. It's all, the children are okay, you can come back next time, but look at all these new people that have gathered. They need to hear. They need teen camp. So we have like a youth vision training. And it's been an incredible privilege to see why God chose to position us at that river border for this time with this beautiful team, leading people to Christ, helping vulnerable communities, and reaching into the material, emotional, and spiritual poverty of people's lives with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just heard what your pastor said and the challenge that he just gave to you. And again, I just wanted to end with this scripture from John chapter 7, verse 38, because if you want to experience this, it's a will thing to open that door. It's not a readiness thing. Now is the time. It's a will. Am I going to choose to take a little risk into something I don't know all about, so I can experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the greater, like the treasure is unmeasurable. You just might not quite know. And God says, come, come, come. And here's one of the promises in verse 38. And this is what Jesus said on the last day of the festival. And this is the Passover. I saw the songs were about Jerusalem. So many of you are probably tracking with what's going on right now. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, and it doesn't always say that Jesus spoke in a loud voice, right? He just taught and spoke, and sometimes he spoke in a loud voice. And here it says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. We give soy milk every week, every Wednesday to 900 children. And that's just the physical material giving. But if that's all we did, we should just pack up our bags and come home. Because that big step into the greater things that are offered is right here in this scripture. Whoever believes in me, that's the big open your door. And if you've already opened it, you might have only opened it a crack. If we fling open that gate, then he flings into us all the things that he's been saving, the treasure that we were designed for. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, he's not on his own. He's part of the family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit family. He's part of the carrying out of the history that was started in the Garden of Eden. Rivers of living water will flow from within him. Now, you live near an ocean, so you'll have oceans of living water flowing from you. You might have a love-hate relationship with the ocean if it brings seaweed onto your shore or something like that. This is the greatest gift. And this is, you can't live another day without opening that wide and seeing what that looks like in you, because it's unique for each individual. What it's going to look like in me and what it's going to look like coming out of you is not going to be exactly the same, but it's purifying, it's healing, and it's releasing itself to the unfolding of the gospel for other people so they will be drawn not just to the big give, but to the bigger give. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. It is, yeah, when you think about that word, rivers of living water, isn't that amazing? Not a drop, not a cup, not a bottle full, but rivers of living water will flow. And there's a lot of work we have to do, right? It says, whoever believes. That's not much. You believe, and you have this river of living water coming out of you. And it is amazing. I just want to touch on something that Julie mentioned about the conscription law. And we're seeing many, many people come across. And a few weeks ago, I went to a school graduation. I was invited, and I'm not always excited about those. But anyways, that's another story. And as you're sitting through all sorts of performances and different things like that, and it's fun, it's interesting sometimes. But then the pastor said, and his name is Pastor David, and he runs a church, a school for close to 200, and a children's home for 60 or 70 kids. He says, we just welcomed 36 more people in. And because they were 18 to 35, they're probably 18, 17, actually one was 17, but you know, they're not going to check your ID when you look the age. They're just going to grab you and you're in the army and you become a human shield or whatever. And they had just been there 3 days. They came across the river from a place that we know, and they didn't know anything. They just knew they had to get away. And I said, and I just thought, well, you know, I'm going to sneak out during the graduation, after the end. And I went to meet them, and I just started talking to them, and we just had this long conversation. And you see this emotion on them because they're talking about bombs, they're talking about hiding in trenches, they're talking about, we just want to go to school. And so I was able to actually video them, and I'm not going to show that today, but I might send it to Pastor Ralph. But just, you know, this 36 represent hundreds and thousands of people who just want to go to school. They just want to live, and they can't. And today we want to give you a bit more of a glimpse into what God is doing on the Thai-Myanmar border. As Julia said, we live on the Thai side, so we get good Thai food. So if you ever want to come, it's different than here, just so you know. But I want you to also, you don't have to, but I would like you to, pick up a prayer card from the table out back. But just realize that's a binding contract, okay? As soon as you pick it up, then you have to pray for us, okay? In the biblical sense, right? Without ceasing. And the first time we were here actually was, I forget, but it was a few years ago. And first time we were here, we shared about our little story in prison in China. And we spent, 2 and a bit years in prison in China. And the story of that, I don't know if you call it an ordeal or whatever you want to call it, but we spent 2 years in that Chinese prison, and you know, God did amazing things in that time. It's not something I want to repeat, okay? There's some things you'll want to do again, some things you don't, right? That I don't want to repeat. But what I saw is Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, right? He's our refuge, he's our strength, okay? And ever-present help in trouble, right? Ever-present. Means there's never a place you go, never a time where God is not present with you. That's just a fact, okay? And we can think it, but it's true. And we have a book out there if you want to pick up a book. I think we brought them last time as well, but we have a few more. And unfortunately, the printer we used, who's here in Victoria, just went out of business. So these could be the last ones. Anyways, we're going to try and find another printer, but we just got a quote from somebody that's way too much. So anyways, we'll see about those. But I want to share a bit more with you about what God is doing, you know, not only during those 2 years, because he's the same, right, in those 2 years in prison, but today. And when I want you to read with me from Romans chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. because it was hope that kept us going in those days. And hope, that hope in Jesus did not disappoint. Right? So with Paul, we say, we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God, and not only that, but we also boast in our suffering, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, right? And hope does not disappoint. And let me say that hope is a man named Jesus, right? Because when we have that hope, when we have that living hope of Jesus in us, he never, ever disappoints, ever, right? Because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, right? Jesus' death and resurrection and the Father's gift of the Holy Spirit changes everything, right? It changes everything we look at. And that hope that he's given us will never, ever disappoint. Some things will disappoint us. Jesus will never disappoint if our hope is in him. And hope does not disappoint because he's alive, right? We don't hope in a dead God. We hope in a living God. 1 Peter 1:3 is very clear. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope, right? To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not a dead hope, a living hope. And that we're the only people in the world as believers who can say a living hope, a living God, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus knew about this hope before he went to the cross. He knew what he was doing, but he had a little struggle with it, I think. Okay? Because he knew that his death would bring resurrection and bring the hope of eternal life to everyone. Not just those who believe, but to everyone he would come and give that offer of living hope. But I like what he said because it shows you how real he was. In Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, right, take this cup from me. But he went back to Jesus, and he says to his father, he says, yet not my will, but yours be done, right? And it always has to be not my will. In prison, it has to be not my will. It has to be what God wills. And I think this is his example to us of not my will. You know, we get to live our lives. We get to choose how we live it. But God wants to say to us, I've given you an example in Jesus. And it should be not my will, okay? Not my comfort or things like that. It should be, God, what do you want me to do? And I think if we're honest and we choose what God wants us to do, we'll find that life is not always comfortable. We will learn that. Now, we said we've lived on the Thai Myanmar border for almost 2.5 years now. And I want to first dispel some rumors, okay? We do not live on a beach, okay? We are 10 or 12 hour drive from a beach, okay? Just so you know. So if you do come to visit, don't bring a bathing suit, okay? Second, as Julia said, and we've already said, there's a war going on our doorstep, okay? We can lie in bed at night and listen to the bombs. We can go down to the border, as people did a week or two ago, and they could almost see the fighting going on because it was right there. One of our partners who had just spent a couple weeks evangelizing in Myanmar, and he is Burmese himself. And so people are still going in to evangelize because they said, now is the time. People are desperate. People are hungry. People are fearful. What better time to bring hope than now? But he came out and he said this, time is difficult for Myanmar now. They have no choice anymore but Jesus Christ. Right? But think about that for a minute. There's no truer words ever spoken. They have no choice but Jesus. But it's the same for you. It's the same for your neighbors. It's the same for your coworkers. There's no choice but Jesus if they want to live life, to have true life, right? There's no choice but Jesus. There's no Buddha. There's no other of these things. That is not a choice, okay? If they want true life, abundant life, eternal life, the only choice is Jesus. So that's the only choice we want to offer to people. Today, I want to tell you more about how God has blessed us and opened incredible doors for us on the border. And yes, it's not always comfortable. You know, 43 Celsius is not always comfortable. Just let me tell you, okay? 43 Celsius. I should say, if you do come, we have three seasons. Hot, hotter, and really hot. Okay? Okay. And hot is still pretty hot, okay? We're passing through the really hot season right now, so we're going back just in time to get into the hotter season when it's raining. But I want to tell you, because, you know, after prison, and this is true, you know, some people said, you know, we came back, what are you going to do now, things like that. And some people would say, yeah, just kind of relax, take it easy, you've kind of done your part. Ever heard something like that? You know, you've gone through enough. Romans 11:29 says, God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. We must preach the gospel. We must go, right? Clearly, God was with us when we went to China in 1984. And clearly, God knew about those 2 years even before we were born. He knew about those 2 years in China, in prison, okay? And he led us through them. And his purpose and plan is always the same, to bring hope, right, wherever we go, to bring hope that changes lives. And I want to say again, our lives have to be not my will, but yours be done. It's not about my comfort. It's not about my retirement. It's not about my new house, my new ideal job, not about my perfect health or my best life now. It's about following Jesus and what he wants you to do now. And sometimes it'll be uncomfortable. I know that. We're used to comfort, right? Are you used to comfort? You got padded chairs. You're used to comfort, okay? We're used to convenience and choice, right? We're used to instant. We're used to service. We're used to plans and knowing. We find on the border, we make plans and the next moment they're changed. We get used to not knowing. We still want to make plans, but we just don't know. But we're used to bank accounts and holidays and an abundance of lattes, right? Do you like lattes? No? Okay, I do. But Jesus says, not my will to his Father, but yours be done. And it's all part of a bigger plan if we want to jump into it and join him, right? Jeremiah 29:11, you know it exactly, right? What does it say? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, you've heard it said before, God has a plan for you. The only reason it's said is because it's true. And if we want to join him in what he's doing. And I'm convinced that if I wasn't in prison for those 2 years, there are some people that would not be in heaven today. Or when it comes time. I don't know if they're dead yet. But that was yesterday. Can I tell you about today? Okay. Yesterday, God proved himself faithful. Today, is he the same? Absolutely. 1,000 times yes. In this area that we live, it's Thailand, but they're probably 60 to 70% are Burmese people. Most are undocumented, means they have no papers, so they're there illegally. We see the wounded, the homeless. We see hundreds who have fled into refugee camps or in IDP camps inside the border. There are the UN, I look at UN numbers sometimes, and they say millions are hungry. I believe it. They say millions have been displaced. But what I've learned about the UN numbers is they're not accurate. They're not enough. There's more. But hope changes things. Hope in a man named Jesus changes everything. When people come across and we are able to give them a bag of rice or, you know, a bag of food, it gives them, it's what Sue said earlier, you know, if they're hungry, it's hard to listen, but when they're fed, their hope rises up. Someone cares, and then you can share with them. I can share with you lots of statistics, and I like them. I like numbers. Do you like numbers, Ralph? Ralph likes numbers, okay. Jeff, do you like numbers? Yeah, okay. Last year, we distributed 67,000 kilograms of rice. That's a lot of rice, just so you know. We provided over 77,200 hygiene kits to people. We built 7 big clean water systems. We printed and distributed 2,000 Bibles and other things, right? But I could go on telling you numbers, but I'm not going to. Because the stories behind it that make the difference. It's the stories behind a bag of rice, right? Because behind every bag of rice, every hygiene kit, is a God-driven and a God-written story. Because see, we're not on the border by accident. God placed us there because he knew that's where we should be. It's part of a plan, a bigger plan. It's like the story of we had decided we would go to this little refugee camp. There's maybe 15 families, not many, maybe 20 families. And we didn't tell them we're coming. Well, most of the time we just can't get a hold of them. That's why we can't tell them. So we decide we're going to go. And we get there with our truck loaded with food bags and rice and things like that. And because it's the dry season, these migrant workers, they have no work. You know, if they have work, they have money. If they have no work, they have no money, therefore no food. So we show up, and this woman says when we get there, okay, I had a dream last night that someone would bring us food today. You see, it's part of a plan. We didn't know, they didn't know, but God knew, and he put the two together. He's going to give this woman a dream to show himself that he's real to this woman and to that group. How amazing is that? How amazing and amazing is that? Okay? Because God brought us to bring the only hope that changes lives, Jesus. And that's what we want to know. I know you've heard about bombs, you heard about shooting, you're thinking, is it safe where we are? What do you think? Safe is relative, right? And I think of when I people say, well, is it safe? Because people ask that question, is it safe? I think of that C.S. Lewis book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, right? You read it. And what does Lucy say? She says to Beaver, asking about Aslan, who is a symbol of God. She says, is he safe? Beaver says, who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. Right? Of course it is. And someone asked me that. I was actually going to renew some insurance. And I went and somehow we got into a conversation about what we're doing. And she asked the same question. She wasn't a believer, this insurance place. And she said, is it safe there? I said, it's probably safer than crossing the street here. Because when you're in the will of God, it's all safe, right? It's okay. It's okay. So I want you to take a look at this brief video. It's only 2 minutes, so no need for popcorn or anything like that. Just to give you a glimpse of what we're doing, okay? So the video man will start the video. God is at work on the border, and it's amazing to see because you're part of it. Your support every month helps us to do what we're doing, helps us to be the feet on the ground of what God is doing in that place. About a month ago, I had my aunt, who's 80 years old, maybe 81, so if she can do it, she came with her son, my cousin, his wife, and their two kids who are 15 and 17. And they come as unbelievers. And we said, they just wanted to see what we're doing. Because they heard some things, right? And we tried to tell them, but, you know. And I said, okay, this you just join in whatever we're doing. Okay? So my cousin, a little bit younger, maybe 10 years younger than me, maybe more than 10. Anyways, no belief whatsoever. Just he might not even say he's an atheist. He has nothing. His wife is Hindu background. His kids, again, nothing because no one's ever told them. And so, but as they come and they just joined in what we're doing, they went across the river with us into Myanmar. They sat down and made aid with our staff. They went to a children's home and they sat with the kids and talked with them. And the overwhelming comment that came from them was, there is such peace here. There is such joy here. 50 kids crammed into this children's home. There is such peace here. You sometimes get two kids at home and there's no peace, right? They have 50 kids crammed into this children's home and there's such peace and joy. There's these people living in these ramshackle bamboo huts, having fled their villages because they've been bombed, and living in this place, and they said, there's such peace here. Because God brings peace. God brings peace and he brings hope to people. And as our staff were sitting down making soap or whatever they're doing with my cousin, so they'd be my second cousin, I guess, my cousin's kids, what are they? Second cousins? Okay. Then they started, and we heard about this afterwards, they started talking about, like, they're asking our staff, so why do you pray? Like, what's that song we sang? What's, you know? And they're saying, no, our parents never told us about this before. And so our staff are witnessing to them, right? And it's just, and wonderful, if our staff can speak to my family who are not believers, and they can come to know Jesus. They haven't yet, I say yet. Right? But the seed's been planted. And it was amazing to take them into this place, into these places, so they get a glimpse of what goes on here. And I want to introduce you to our staff. You saw a photo at the beginning. And this next picture, that's most of our staff there. I think it's all of our staff. Three of them grew up in refugee camps. Okay, two grew up in a migrant children's home, means no parents around. One grew up in Burma, but had to flee the fighting about a year ago. One grew up in Burma but came to Thailand in grade 7 because there's no further education for her at that point. So grade 7 she comes. Can you imagine that? On her own. Okay. One of our Thai staff, a bit older woman in her 40s, 50s, maybe 50s. I don't know how old she is. Can't ask those questions. But she grew up in just incredible poverty. Like when she tells us a story, at 14 years old, she went to Bangkok on her own to try and get a job and make money so her family could live. Another one of our staff grew up without a father. He's seen his father about 3 or 4 times over his life. They all come to us a bit broken. But aren't we all? Really? We're all a bit broken. But you know what? I see is that they've been saved, they've been redeemed, and they just want to serve the poor and the brokenhearted, and they want to bring hope that changes lives. They want to bring Jesus in every situation. And so sometimes we go into places and we sit back and we just watch them share. And it's amazing to see what God is doing because Jesus is our living hope. It means everywhere we go, everything we do, Jesus is the hope that we bring into that situation. Waso, one of our staff member, she's probably, well, they're all happy, but she's probably one of the more happy ones because she's just always smiling, always singing, and just amazing. But she grew up in a refugee camp. Her parents are Buddhists to this day. And, you know, for the longest time, she was probably put down by her family. And just like, they because she's a bit different. But now, she became a Christian about 3 years ago. Now, the family look up to her and say, wow, what, you know, they don't say, what has God done? Like, look what you've done, you know. The first time we drove up to the refugee camp with her, and her father came out and says, is that your car, Waso? No, that's my boss's car. But they are so proud of her now But now her family's grown from 7 to 15. Not by birth, but because of the conscription law, because of the war, they've had more distant family members come and join them. So now there's 15 people living in this little wooden bamboo hut. So we try to help them every month with rice and things like that. A few weeks ago, we went over to an IDP camp in Burma, and IDP just means internally displaced people camp. And there's about 70 families in the particular camp, but there's many, many other families in the area. We're able to bring rice and food sacks, and you saw the singing in the video, that was at that camp. Just our staff sharing with the kids. And again, it's what my family said, there's such peace and joy here, and they have nothing. My family has everything, and their parents are trying to show them, you know, there's another side of the world. But what they didn't show them is Jesus. And when they see Jesus, it's like, it's different. It's good. It's true. And it brings hope. And, you know, we see the hundreds, we see the thousands, we see the many come across the river and the border, and we can't help them all. We'd like to, but we can't. But God has brought us into relationship with a lot of different groups of people that we can help. And, you know, these people have lost everything. Their villages have been burned or bombed, or they've run because they have nowhere to go. And I want to tell you a couple stories about, you know, in the video you saw the family, the couple kids on a little cart, they're reading a book, right? We have a copy out on the table there. It's called Life of Christ Visualized. And it's kind of a pre-evangelism, so we use it to give to people, you know, a bag of rice, here's a book. And they love it because it's color, because they don't get color. And they love it because it's a story, and if they can't read, they'll find someone who can read it to them. And it's long, it's the whole life of Christ in there. And so, about a year and a half ago, maybe closer to 2 years ago, we went into a Buddhist school, and this is in the Thai side. It's a migrant Buddhist school. And so we're asking them, they needed some uniforms. So we thought, okay, we got talking, and we said, okay, what do you want to, first of all, ask them the question, are there any Christians in this school? About 100 kids, 6 staff or so. And the headmaster is really proud. He says, no, not one. Okay, God, this is your job, right? So we said, okay, so we'll still work with you. And we didn't say that, but we did. And so Julie asked him, so do you want to put something on your shirt, your uniform, you know, that's the name of your school or something like that? Yeah, we want something on the shirt. What should we put? And Julie suggested, how about hope that changes lives? And they said, yeah, we like that. Okay, you know God's got them now, right? So they get all these shirts that say hope that changes lives, and then we give them backpacks that say the same thing. Can't get away from hope, right? Can't escape Jesus. So we go on this a year and a half later, maybe 2 years later. So it comes this past October, maybe it was November actually. And we make regular visits to the school about every month, every 6 weeks. And we go to the school and there's something different going on. First of all, we have a friend with us. She's from the US and she plays the cello, okay? Hard to bring a cello, just so you know, okay? It's not that little tiny instrument called a ukulele. No, it's the big one, the really big one, right? Anyways, we rented a cello in Bangkok and brought it up, and a long story. But we got it, and she comes into the school. First time she's ever been there, she said, she brought her cello because we're going to do a little program for the kids. And she says, I don't know why, but I just feel like I have to play the song, and I forgot. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Just play it on the cello. No words, just play it before everyone gathers. And wow, that's amazing. Short time later, I'm talking with the headmaster. And he says, you know, Christmas is coming. Would you come and share about Jesus? This is the guy who said, no, not one Christian, right? And I said, you know, like the whole story? You don't know everything? Yes, everything. I want you to tell everything to the kids and our staff. Would you mind if we give them a book? Yeah, give them a book. That's okay. And this is the kids there receiving the books and some gifts. You know, there's something about being, amen, Jesus. There's something about being consistent and showing up. And there's something about being on mission. We're going to share Jesus, but when God, when you do it, then we'll come in too. Okay? And now they all have a book. And we're in the midst of printing more. Do you know for the price of a latte, we can print a book? Actually, less than the price of a latte if you go to Starbucks, just so you know. Okay? Another school called Greenwater School. And we've been going there. It's another school. It's a little bit remote. It's a place we cannot call ahead just to say we're coming. But they always say, if you come anytime on a Friday afternoon, we should be here and we'd be happy to whatever you want to do. Okay? So, you know, we try to call ahead, but it just can't because the area they're in, there's just no cell service and they have to leave and go out, you know, ways to get a cell service. So sometimes we just show up and all of a sudden you see all the kids, they're here, they're running around. It's like, and they're excited because they know something's coming, usually a snack, but other things too. And I get there this time. This is probably a couple of months ago now. And I think I need to take some tracks with me today. And I want to, and it would just seem the right time to give them to these teachers. They know who we are, but we don't, you know, you must believe, but you must. But anyways, that's, and I said, it's just time to give them a track. So as our staff are working with all the kids, the teachers, you know, can kind of take a break and step back. So I said, I brought these for you today. What's the normal thing? Someone gets a tract. Thank you. Okay, put it in their pocket or in the garbage or whatever, right? That happens. They read it from cover to cover, standing there, and said, do you have more? So next visit, we brought them the Life of Christ Visualized books, right, to give them more. And the next step will be, are you ready to receive Jesus? Because they are. We just keep showing up. And yeah, we do crisis aid and we do lots of things, but sometimes we just keep showing up in places and we keep doing what God asks us to do. Last few weeks, Julie mentioned we've been doing camps, summer camps. And so we call this our superhero camp. Who is your superhero? Come on, this is an easy one. Jesus is your superhero, okay? Okay? I'll give you the answer, okay? Jesus is our superhero. There's the backpacks there with Hope That Changes Lives on it. So this is Waso. And she told this story. She says, I was telling the kids about, you know, how Jesus is your friend. And one kid asked her afterwards, says, how can Jesus be my friend? I don't even know who he is. Well, open door, right? Let me tell you who Jesus is. And this is a school we go to on occasion. And amazing that we just keep can bring this hope that changes lives. And, you know, God will speak for himself when we just keep showing up. And it's amazing to see that. We're able to, you know, there's lots of things I could tell you and lots of things that are going on. Like you saw in the video, building a church. We built a couple of churches now. We built a home for orphans up the river a while ago through another partner. We go to this school every week called Emmanuel. Every single Friday we go. And this is the home we built. So this is Emmanuel. And there's about 104 kids there. And we love this school. We go there every Friday. And I think the kids love it too. Well, because the headmaster there, he tells us on Thursdays, we always hear the kids because he's not only a headmaster. He's the head teacher. He's the driver. He's everything, right? Because if he didn't drive and go and pick up the kids and bring them to school, they couldn't come. So he spends 2 hours every morning, 2 hours every afternoon, picking up and dropping off, so that kids can go to school. Otherwise, they have no way to get to school. So he says, on Thursdays, I often hear them say, don't forget, tomorrow we get lunch. Because he says, I often look in their lunch when they're in class or something. He says, there's not much there. But on Fridays, they get lunch, usually chicken and other stuff that we do. But it's a highlight. Food is always a highlight, right? You're looking forward to lunch, right? I know. But we get to be part of this school and seeing those lives changed by going there week after week after week. Another school we go to, Huaycola, we just finished the summer camp there. 170 kids. We have and every week we have a Bible study there. And one time I was there, and the Bible study is our girls do it, so I don't go into the girls section. So I'm usually sitting outside in the truck just waiting. And I heard our staff go in and say, okay, now we're going to have a game. just imagine this is your youth group, right? 30 to 50 girls. They say, we don't want a game. We want to study the Bible. How amazing is that? Because they know the source of hope, right? So every week, this past week, I'm not sure how many they had at the camp, but a lot. And again, the whole idea was, Jesus is my superhero. And they keep asking questions. We've given out, I don't know, 30 or 40 Bibles there at least, if not more. And I just want to show you this next to last picture. And it's just, you know, kids sitting in a field, in a forest actually. And what are they doing? They're writing their exams. And I want to mention, you know, they're dedicated to the task, right? It's uncomfortable, yes. It's uncomfortable writing an exam in a forest, right? Because their school has been bombed, the village has been burned, but their teachers are dedicated to teaching them. And isn't that the way we should be, right? It can be uncomfortable, but are we dedicated to what we're doing? Are we dedicated to the hope that we have, this living hope in us, in each of us who are a believer? Are we dedicated to sharing that hope? Not keeping it to ourselves. We're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. What did Jesus say? Go, right? And make disciples. Go into all the world and preach the good news. And I just want to end with this. You know, each of us are capable of what we say, pray, help, give, go. We're each capable of some aspect of this, or maybe every aspect of this. Okay? And this is not something we made up. Pray, well, that's biblical, right? Without ceasing. Okay? Help, the Bible talks clearly about helping the poor. Right? Give, well, that's pretty clear. Right? You do that when you tithe to the church. And go. Some, like Julie and I, get called to go overseas. But maybe you're called to speak to someone in a coffee shop. Maybe you're called to your neighbor. Maybe you're called to serve in VBS, right? Sue says yes. And it might be uncomfortable, you know? Just so you know, I don't want you any misconceptions. Prison was uncomfortable, okay? It may be uncomfortable, but we have to say with Jesus, not my will, but yours be done, right? Not my comfort, but you, Jesus. So will you pray? Pick up a prayer card. Will you help? Ask God what you're supposed to do. Will you give? Pray. What does God want you to do? Will you go? You might not all come to the border, but if you do, just wear a helmet because, no, it is safe. It is safe. But I want you to remember what my friend said who just spent a couple weeks evangelizing in Myanmar. He said, they have no choice anymore but Jesus. Think about the people you meet, the people around you. Their only choice for true life is Jesus. There is no other choice, and we are the ones to share that choice with them, right? We are. Let's pray. So thank you, Jesus, that you are Lord of heaven and earth. Lord, thank you that even when we feel weak, when we don't feel strong, like we can do it, Lord, you are our strength. You are our refuge. In times of trouble and being uncomfortable, you are the one who rescues us and holds us. Lord, so I thank you for your living hope that resides in us. And I thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to share that hope, Lord. And I pray for each one of us here today, Lord, we would go with a renewed vision to share that hope that we have with people that we meet. And Lord, whatever our role is, each of us, Lord, we would be part of the praying, the giving, the helping, and the going. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, when you give, when you help, and Lord willing, go, you are planting in good, good soil. There is also other information on Kevin and Julia's table in the foyer, and they will be there to answer any questions. And if you haven't already got his book, please get his book. Your faith will be so, so, so built up and encouraged. Let's all stand. And as Kevin said, they're heading back tomorrow. When I had asked, both Kevin and I, we had met at district conference last year, and we had made arrangements. At that point, he had not mentioned or known that they were going to be going back tomorrow. So we are so blessed to have them here today. And Kevin and Julie, I'm going to ask if you could just come forward. I'm going to ask my board members that are here this morning if you would come and join me. Pastor Sue, would you come? Because I'm going to ask if you could pray. And we're going to pray for Kevin and Julia as they embark on the call God's given them to bring hope that truly changes lives.
Everyone just lift your hands out.
Father God, we are a truly blessed nation. We are a truly blessed community. We are a truly blessed people. We don't have to hide in a forest to write an exam. We don't have to wait for someone to come once a week so we can have some chicken. We don't have to wait for someone to bring the word to us. It is so readily available here. Lord, you have given us much of everything. So, Father, let us be grateful. But Father, of the much we have, may we obediently give as you lead us. Father, first of all, we thank you that those who know you and have felt called from you to go and do, Lord, I ask that you pour even more blessing on Kevin and Julia. First of all, because of who you are, God. Who you are to them, their Father, their Savior, their hope, their redemption, their provision. Father, may they know more and more of your presence in their spiritual lives. Father, may they know and see more and more of your hand in the provision for their families, for their ministry. Father, may floodgates of blessing pour open and reach into Myanmar. Father, we pray for peace in that area, for we know you are the author of peace, and we will continue to pray for that, but there is still stuff to be done. There are people to be fed. There are homes to be provided. There is hope to be spoken about. So, Father, as the team grows, as more and more people come to know you as Jesus, and that first awareness of the first time you say yes to Jesus brings such a joy and an exuberance into your life. Father, may we remember that even now from our lives. And may we ask you to do that through us. Lord, you will provide. We have no doubt about it. Where your word is spoken and declared, you are there also. Father, we pray for a covering of protection that physically this war will not impact the ministries, that there will still be clear channels of travel, communication, opportunity to bring what is necessary to do the work that they are doing. And Father, we would be so grateful that we are allowed to be a part of that, even here. Father, may we practice gratitude for all that we have. May we practice giving of what we don't need. so that others who have nothing can have something. So, Father, in your precious name, be with them as they travel. Let there be no delays. Let there be no glitches in airlines and companies and stuff like that. Let everything just be ordered by your hand. In your precious, precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Julia. As you leave this morning, if you're able, stay, greet Kevin and Julia. They'll be at the back. They'd love to meet you. We also have coffee and help.